You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Where do you go for comics new and old? Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars? And where do you go to see the best in cosplay? Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout to get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix? Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
This is Hermes Conrad, your Eurocrat level grade 36, and you are listening to the Canned Air Podcast. Now stop it and get back to work.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
And I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today, the CEO of Animation Comics and Entertainment, we have Dwayne Robinson with us today. Dwayne, thank you so much for being here.
No problem, guys. Glad to be here. Thank you.
We're going to have a lot of fun today. I feel like it's been a few weeks since we've all been collective here. Last week was a fun episode I did with my buddy Harold. I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear that,
but that
it
was
came
an awesome
out pretty
episode.
Good. And I'm just glad we're all around the mics again. Kinda. Jack's on Skype, but it's the feeling's still there, right?
I'm by a mic.
That works. That counts, yeah. I guess. In our retro roundtable, since this past Saturday, the 20th was the 50-year anniversary of the moon landing. We're going to be talking just about that, the moon landing and the moon and pop culture.
That's awesome.
It's going to be fun. I thought, man, this might be a hard topic, but after I started writing, I thought this is going to be a fun topic.
Yeah, I came across a lot more than I thought I would.
Same here, and I'm excited to go over that stuff. Then after that, we're going to turn our attention over to Dwayne and talk about animation, comics, and entertainment. But before we do that, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing and want to join the Patreon family, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod. And become a patron. For $5 a month, you can get access to our monthly Patreon pod, which has been a lot of fun. And I also want to mention we have a new patron, Mr. RJ Penna. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so. Or yeah.
This is somebody we met at the Torgs NewarkCon, yep. And has become a new listener and so seems like a pretty good fan, right?
Yeah. He was actually the winner of our Wii that we raffled out there.
Look at that. It's all reciprocal, isn't it? So, RJ, thank you so much. And it looks like he has suggested in our next Patreon pod, we talk Jurassic Park. And he's a dude after my own heart. He knows what I want to talk about. So I am excited for that. We'll be doing that for this month's Patreon pod. But anyway, big thank you to RJ and welcome to the Candair Nation. Anything else, Randy, before we move on?
Yeah, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcast app, leave us a like, review, and we'll read it online or on the air.
There you go. And it helps us out so much. So, all right, let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
Engage. I'll be back.
Shut up!
All right, so the moon landing. This past Saturday, the 20th, was the moon 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And Brooke and I actually went to the Neil Armstrong Air and Space Museum in Wapakoneta on that day. They were having a festival, but it was just kind of fun to see some of the outfits and see, you know, just all the actual equipment used
Anyway. I wondered if that was your footage that you had recorded, because I saw that on Instagram and I think Facebook too.
Yeah, I got a lot of other pictures I haven't put up there yet, but those were the coolest, I thought. Just the top to bottom of the outfits, they look pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
All right, so what do we got, guys? The 50th of the moon landing. What do we got?
Was it really real?
Start with you, Randy. What you got?
I've got, you know, just in pop culture, I've got a couple video game references, I guess one, where the moon was actually the bad guy. Legends of Zelda Majora's Mask.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
So the whole thing revolved around you had 3 days to save the world before the moon came crashing down. And the look on that moon, man, it looked like it was ready to mean. Do some business.
Yeah, it looked pretty mean. I don't think I played that game, but I do remember thinking, like, looking at a book or the cover, like, damn, that moon looks pissed.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy, too, because if you ever let the timer run out, it, like, obliterated everything.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back. I never did, too, but people love that game, right? That was, like, a pretty well...
Yeah, it was a direct sequel to Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
You would know above anyone here. So yeah. Don't look to us for confirmation, because I don't know. Jack, what about you?
Oh, just the whole werewolf thing. The werewolves are the reason why... or the moon is because of... is the reason for werewolves. If we didn't have a full moon, then we wouldn't have werewolves running around.
Well, you're not wrong, Jack. You're not wrong. You're definitely not wrong. And that kind of, I think, feeds into Dwayne's comic, doesn't he? Have something to do with werewolves in his books. Yeah, there we'll touch on that a little bit.
Good segue, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe we'll circle around back to that, Jack, toward the end of this conversation to segue into our convo with Dwayne.
I'll be over here.
What about you, Dwayne? What you got?
I'm still with the is it real?
I don't know anything really about the controversy.
Yeah, did it really happen? Yeah.
So you guys are talking about the conspiracy theory about it, like being like taped, like in a sound station somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't personally believe it. I was just throwing it out there, just because. I mean, there's like the flat earthers. There's those ones that think the Earth's flat, and some think the moon didn't happen, and some are ready to go. Raid Area 51 because there's something there.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's great. I still can't believe that's actually a thing. Like, that's real. People are actually planning on doing that.
I had to really walk away from social media for like a week because every other thing was Area 51. I was like, Jesus, with this.
That's not what I was cracking up about. I'm cracking up about the fact that there's a bunch of people that are going to Nataro run.
Naruto.
Yeah, my bad.
You know those games where they like funnel like little hordes of, I can't even think of a good example. There was Lemmings. A South Park game where hordes of like gnomes or wild turkeys or something would come at you, and you had to set up these turrets everywhere to eliminate all of them before they reached the other side. That's what the invasion of Area 51 is going to look like. Just people running into gunfire if it were to happen.
Going to be a DayZ thing that they think that's what's going to happen. We'll just pile up on each other and break in.
Yeah. Well, hey, natural selection. I say let's let it happen and let's make this world stronger as a result, right? And with that, I'll move on to my pick. how about MTV? Remember MTV back in the day? Their original logo was the moon man putting the flag down, but it wasn't the USA flag. It was the MTV flag.
I completely forgot about that.
And that was their logo for the longest time. And like when they started putting movies out, there was like a whole like astronaut floating in front of the screen thing before it, like the MTV logo settled on the screen.
That was the MTV Music Award too.
Oh, you're right. Moon Man. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Because I was like, man, wouldn't that little flag break off there so easily? I don't know.
That's after the parties after the award show, and all of a sudden they break their stuff.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to go put this in the car really quick. I'll be back, guys.
what was that you were going to say, Dwayne?
No, I was just saying that actually happened. That the flag has come off during the handing the award over.
No kidding.
Many people have dropped the flag, or the head has fallen off.
It's a faulty design. So
I think they changed it. Yeah, I think they changed it. I don't watch award shows anymore, but I think they changed it last time I saw one.
Hmm. And you're stronger for not watching them. I'm proud of
you. Yeah, really.
Another thing really quick before I pass it back to Randy here, though, I put on social media was a quick clip of The Simpsons where Homer, as a child, is sitting in a beanbag with headphones on. And it's a direct clip from a flashback in an episode where he's like, I remember the moon landing. And it shows his dad like sitting on the couch with a tear in his eye watching it happen. And the camera pans over to Homer, who has headphones on and is oblivious to what's happening on the TV. And he's singing, yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy. So that always makes me laugh. But anyway, Randy, back to you.
So I didn't have this on my list, but I'll go ahead and talk about it. You kind of blew my mind before we started recording. I had seen in 1902, it was a French film they did about the moon landing. It was like 12 minutes. You can look it up on YouTube. Smashing Pumpkins apparently redid that.
I
totally did not make that connection until now. So
yeah, what was it? One more time, Trip to the Moon? Is that what it was called?
It's in French, yeah, but I think the translation is Trip to the Moon.
At one point was on Netflix. If it might still be, I can't see that getting pulled for any reason.
It's probably public domain at this point, I think.
That's
I would imagine. Point. Yeah,
yeah, it's probably fair. That's probably fair. Yeah, I don't know, but a good pick. A good pick indeed.
That was gonna be mine. That was the creepiest looking moon too. Just the way that
it was,
the kind film like and Tim the makeup Curry. Back then. It did a little bit.
I wonder how they did. Was that just like put onto a person's face? It would have had to have been, right?
I would think so.
I think yeah. so. Yeah, and they yeah. just superimposed it into the background or something like that.
It's horribly creepy.
Made that person's face really big.
That it did, Jack. We are back to you.
This day is another one too.
What's that?
Independence Day. In the beginning of Independence Day, that's the first thing you see.
Yeah.
That the aliens fly over, symbolizing that we're not alone.
That is on my list, sir. In the very beginning of Independence Day. And
that was because the moon just gets darkened out, wasn't it? Isn't that how it starts
well,
out?
Well, you hear the recording of Neil Armstrong saying, this is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. As the camera's showing the plaque they've left behind and their footprints.
That's right.
And you see the shadow cast over it and like all the gravel starts to shake and like the footprints like settle in. Like they're not there anymore because of the vibration of the ship coming over. Damn, that was cool.
Yeah, that was a good intro for a movie.
That movie did not age well at all.
It aged better than the sequel.
Oh, boy. That sequel was also on my list. Because
sorry.
No, you're fine. I was going to bring it up right now anyway. That sequel brings up a very good point as to, you know, we spent all this time and money getting our asses to the moon. And once we got there, we're like, all right, we've been there, done that. Let's go to home and do something else. Like, why
don't we Russia, suck it.
Yeah, and then Russia's like not even trying anymore. Like, well, fuck it, the Americans made it, you know. But why aren't we utilizing the moon? Like in Independence Day 2, like they had learned from their mistakes before. They have got this new alien technology, and when the second movie starts, there are like moon security bases, you know, like divisions of the army who are stationed on the moon, which I get. Okay, we haven't had a big invasion in real life that would warrant such things, but still, why haven't we utilized the moon in any way, shape, or form?
You see that
in a way, I kind of think it might be a security issue, not like guard security, but Earth security. Because if we screwed up and messed the moon up in any way, we're screwed down here. Just because of the
we're
way
messing up
with the gravity.
We're messing up the one we're on even more of an alarming rate. I mean, I don't
see that
being...
Yeah, but I think it would be faster if we screwed the moon up. All of a sudden it blew up and the gravity's all screwy and then we got huge tidal waves because of the tide pools and stuff like that that it controls.
But like in Futurama, you know, they built like an amusement park on the moon.
Right.
Like in one isolated dome. What's that going to hurt?
You see that a lot in anime too, like the whole Gundam franchise, I think... The original Gundam, they colonized the moon and stuff like that. I
would think there would be some kind of practical use. Like, we spent all this money trying to get there, and once we did it, it's like, okay, fuck it, we're done. You know? And I think Apollo 11 was the only one that actually touched down. There have been, what, 6-7 other missions that have gone, but only Apollo 11 actually landed. Everyone else just circled. I think 13 was supposed to land, but then everything that happened with them, you know, went haywire and they had to come home.
Yeah,
but
Tom Hanks had to come back.
Yeah. Thank God. I can't imagine a world without Tom Hanks. You see the Mr. Rogers trailer?
Dude, I did.
That Holy crap.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I can't freaking wait. And who better to play it?
I know.
Who better? But still, I mean, that's my Independence Day 2 rant, was why aren't we utilizing the fucking moon? Anybody? Nothing?
What was the one with Bruce Willis? So what was the one with Bruce Willis?
Armageddon, where he goes
on the moon. Yeah, Armageddon, right. That's another one, too, where they show they actually have to land on the moon. Oh, wait, no, that was that?
Was that was a, they had to they land had on a meteor.
No, that was, yeah, it was a comet. It was a comet that was coming.
Deep Impact, I think, was, was it Deep
That was another meteor, yeah.
I'm thinking of Total Recall.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah. I think that was Mars, wasn't
that
it?
That was Mars. We were just wrong in every direction.
Dwayne, yeah, I think where you were going with Armageddon is I think there was a scene where they had to, like, use the moon's gravity or something and, like, slingshot around it.
Right.
That's what it was, yep.
Right. I think that's how they, like, every like, voyage has to do that. Like, they rely on that, I think. I don't know. I'm not an astronaut, but I wish I was.
Just shake
sometimes.
It and bake it. Shake it and bake it around the moon.
Okay. Oh, man. Who are we back to? Well, Dwayne just said Independence Day, I guess, back to me? Or I said Independence Day, too. Anyone can go. Who fuck it? Who cares? Go.
Armageddon.
Why haven't we ever seen the backside of the moon, the dark side? I mean, it is dark.
Because that's where the Transformers are, man.
I know, that's exactly where I was almost going. They had to find that Transformers ship back then, Jim.
Oh, my God. Michael Bay!
Who was it that they... Was it Neil Armstrong that walked on the moon?
Neil Armstrong the first one? And Buzz... Yeah, he was the first, and Buzz Aldrin was the second.
But actually, the videotape is actually Buzz stepping off the thing, because someone had to stand there and record it. Isn't that it's something? It goes like that somehow.
The camera was fixed on the actual module.
Was it?
Yeah, because they both get out and then they walk over to it and take it off and reposition it. They take it off the actual ship and then put it on a tripod, probably about 50 feet away. I just watched all this the other day on Hulu. Okay. Saturday, they put all the original airing of that footage and we watched it. And yeah, it's the camera was definitely attached to the pod.
Where the hell did I get that from, then? I swear that that's...
Conspiracy theory websites, damn it. That's where you're getting all your
MattDamon.com.
MattDamon.com. Told you to stay away from that site.
But you know what, guys? What a bad time to mess up your line. You know, your nerves are shot. You're... Okay. Mm. One small step for man. I gotta remember this.
One giant leap for hamburgers.
Yeah,
oh, fuck.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Brandy.
I'm sorry, I'm so hungry right now. This tank just isn't doing it.
Yeah.
Bad time to let out a stress fart.
Oh, my God. How about the Watcher? This is where the Watcher in the Marvel Universe resides.
Okay.
Didn't he have, like, a pretty elaborate base there that we got to see in Original Sin, Jack? Wasn't that, like, the first issue, like, Nova, or issue zero, like, Nova That's shows up Nova, at yeah. his base yep. and looking for him and finds him with his eyeballs ripped out?
It was on the dark side of the moon. That's where the Transformer ship...
on the dark side of the moon. Doesn't the moon fucking rotate, though? Come on.
I don't think it does, actually.
What?
Yeah, I don't... Because I'm pretty sure we've never seen it because it doesn't spin.
Hey, Google. Does the moon rotate?
On the website space.com, they say, the moon orbits the Earth once every 27.322 days. It also takes approximately 27 days for the moon to rotate once on its axis. As a result, the moon does not seem to be spinning but appears to observers from Earth to be keeping almost perfectly still. To find out more, look for the link in your Google Home or Google Assistant app.
Ha!
So does it or doesn't it? Because she said it doesn't. It's a
27 day cycle.
Oh, I got it. So it doesn't seem like it does because every day. Because
it's so infrequent. It's, it's so fucking slow.
Well, that's why we get different moon phases, right? Like the crescent and the
No, that's because of the sun. It's not like there's a half color. The back of the moon is black. Yeah. And when it turns it.
No, that he's right. That is a reflection.
The moon has a tan.
Or
right?
Not a reflection, but a shadow. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, we're ignorant. Should we be talking about the moon? Maybe we should just talk about pretty colors and shit.
Today on Sesame Street.
Last thing I got, man, I blew through this list and we are going to have to come up with more to talk about.
I've got plenty.
All right. Why don't you go next then?
Okay. Going back to anime, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Gurren Lagann. It's on Netflix.
No.
If you've never watched anime, it's a really
good
start.
Anime.
Yeah, so, spoilers, but the second half of the anime, it's like a time skip, and there's a I'll try not to give it away since some of you guys haven't seen it, but basically the moon is really a spacecraft, and they're like trying to it's going to like come and crash into Earth. So they basically take it over, but it's you need to check it out. It's pretty
That's no moon.
Pretty much,
kind of
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Okay, so dovetailing on that too, you've got the whole moon with Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball, where anytime the Saiyans see the moon, they turn into that big hulking killer ape.
That's a false moon that they change from.
Yeah, isn't it? I thought it was a second moon, not the moon from Earth. Because I don't even is it. Is DBZ actually originally from Earth?
I probably screwed up. I thought in the original Dragon Ball, like, they destroyed the moon because Gohan changed and then either wished it back or it was, like, a projection or something. I don't know.
I don't know shit about Dragon
Ball. I was going to say Man of Steel, but I don't think they... Because I remember the part where General Zod and Superman, they fly up into space, but I can't remember if they actually get close to the moon. But I do know they hit a satellite, though, and then they come crashing down. I do remember that part. I have liked that movie. Yeah, a lot of people don't like it, but I actually think it wasn't that bad.
Well, I like Man of Steel.
I'm confused as fuck. What were we talking about?
Because in the last battle, the before the end of the movie, they were flying in the air, and then they went all the way up to space, and then the government hit Superman and General Zod with a nuclear warhead. But I'm trying to remember, before they hit them, were they fighting on the moon? Did they land there and fight a little bit and then get off? I do know they did. They in the original Superman series, he had a fight with I can't remember the villain's name though. He had like a black and gold outfit. He was a terrible villain though. I think that was the third one.
It was like Nuclear Man or something like that, I think.
Yeah, Nuclear Man. They fought on him though. And he's fought animated movie, he's fought on the moon many times. Tons of times. And just about every big battle with Superman in the animated universe, he's fought on the moon.
And Super always has to wear a moon suit too. Other times he just flies around in space. Normal.
Yeah. They used to have it that way. They changed it now. He just flies up there, no problem.
Wasn't the Justice League Watchtower on the moon for a hot minute in the comics?
I don't know. I know it's on a big meteor that floats around. I don't know if it was ever on the moon though. I don't see why not.
You know whose base is on the moon? Rita Repulsa.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
And, Lord Zed. I mean, it's the same base, I suppose. They're sharing real estate, but that base always bugged the fuck out of me because it was open to the outside. And then, like, they were comfortably breathing on Earth. So it made more sense if there was, like, a dome in the front of that big balcony that just overlooked the moon and then onto Earth. That's another thing, too. Wasn't it always dark there, but they could see Earth?
Yeah.
The fuck, Power Rangers?
I don't want to get this continuity.
Rita's got one hell of a throw, too, because she would throw that staff from her moon base
exactly
through the cosmos... Right to the exact pinpoint on Earth where she wanted it to go, right in front of those kids.
I bet she kicks ass at darts, man.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to fuck around with Rita. Like a dart tournament at a bar, no way. Who's next? That's all I've got.
Dr. Evil's giant laser on the moon from Austin Powers.
Giant freaking laser. God.
Yeah.
I thought that's where Jack was going earlier as to a reason why we shouldn't be on the moon.
No, I totally even forgot about that one. I'm trying to look up more stuff in pop culture for the moon. Who else had bases? I can't find anybody.
Well, this is a lackluster episode, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's got some good laughs so far. How about that flag on the moon? It doesn't ever hang down. It's always flapping.
You know, I actually thought about that the other day. Like there's such little gravity that the flag is stuck straight out. But I was, and I don't know if this is the same flag I was seeing, but it looks like the pole it's on goes up in like L's over.
It
so
does.
It's hanging there.
Yeah, it's actually just hanging there just so it looked like it was.
Okay. Well, that's what I look at it, too. I mean, there's still parts of it that like are always crinkled in a certain way that gravity would certainly take care of, but maybe just isn't heavy enough for the gravity there to matter.
Base am not like an iron.
Truer words were never spoken.
Wasn't the movie Pluto Nash, wasn't that story involved in the moon? with the Eddie Murphy movie that was really bad?
Oh God, I don't know.
I completely forgot about that.
wasn't he like chasing a crime boss or something, that he had like a little club or something on the moon?
I've never seen it, but I remember the cover of that film.
I've seen parts of it, and I think I know what you're talking about, but I cannot remember. It's been so long, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what's another one? Since we're talking about comedies, Airplane 2.
Oh, God, that's right. It does go. That is where they're flying to the moon.
Is it really? I've never seen the second Airplane, only the first.
Yeah, because it threw me off when I was watching it, because, they get in a shuttle and they fly, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's actually this going into outer space.
The first one. He tries to capture the moon.
Yeah.
What is it about the moon?
How about the cartoon series The Tick? The evil genius chair-faced Chippendale was going to deface the moon by writing his name on it. And The Tick thwarted him. He had already started writing his name, but the Tick ended up beating him and destroying the big laser that was writing its name. But after that, it always had like CH and then like most of the letter A, and like throughout the whole series you'd always see the moon and it would be just those three letters. It was always so funny.
What was the Will Smith film where he was a hero? Hancock.
Yep.
He made friends with I know him as Michael Bluth from Jason Bateman.
Yep.
And
he put the heart on his little company thing that he was doing, his sponsorship. Yeah,
like to thank him at the end of the movie with the company logo on the moon. Like that was pretty, like, how the hell would he do that? And like, wouldn't some people be pretty pissed?
Oh yeah, that's amazing advertising right there.
I mean, honestly, he's the strongest man in the world, you know. Who's going to stop him?
Yeah, I know, right? What are you going to do?
It's permanent, you know?
Come on, it's okay. You get
it. That's like the best ad ever. No one can change it, ever.
Really? There'd probably be only...
I really enjoyed that, man.
There would be only three companies, maybe four companies, that would be able to advertise on the moon, because since we now know that the moon does turn... That would be like a moving billboard. Every couple days would be something different for about a week.
Yeah, you'd get a if it takes 27 days to turn, let me see here.
About every 3 weeks. Okay. Or every week for about three of them, I think. Because it would in one week.
So you could do 7 day rotations, right?
Right.
Yeah, 7 day rotations with ads. Oh man. It's coming. I mean, we won't see it, but it'll happen, right? Once the technology's there, it will definitely happen, right?
Right.
Fake moons will be put up just for ad's sake.
They'll send up, like, it'll be like a Zen garden. They'll send up a bunch of people to rewrite it, and they'll just get their big rakes and then rake the advertisement away.
You think that's how Hancock put the big heart on the moon, was just like fucking like little Buddha rakes and shit? Like finding his Zen spot on the moon?
I keep thinking of the scene in Spaceballs.
Remind me
where they're combing through the desert.
We ain't found shit. Yeah. That was such a good film. Yeah. How about Apollo 13? We mentioned the mission, we mentioned Tom Hanks, but holy cow, that movie was fantastic. Did you guys see it?
Yeah, that was the first movie I remember like being nervous about as a kid. Like just kind of like that on the edge of your seat.
There is one moment in that film that I always think about, like, even years after seeing it. It was, they had a, I don't know if it was a pump or a regulator or a filtration system of some kind that was making air, or it was filtering the air to make clean, breathable air. And it was destroyed. So they had these technicians come in NASA, and they had told the guys, go around the ship, gather everything you can, whatever it is, extra suits, gloves, binders, anything you can find, get it. And they did a report back to Houston. Okay, this is everything we have to use. And then they got all those same things, gave them to these scientists, and said, make all this shit into a breathing regulator.
We need MacGyver now.
And MacGyver it they did. They did. They made it work. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's like a bunch of laminated sheets, a roll of duct tape, just some pieces of different like outfits and shit. It was nuts. It was nuts. And it was true. And Bill Paxton was in that movie. That's worth noting. Bill Paxton.
And Gary Sinise.
And Bill Paxton, Randy.
And Kevin Sinise. Bacon in there, too?
Kevin Bacon, Tom Hanks, and Bill Paxton. Did I say that already?
He's worth mentioning as many times as you did.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta love
that. I see you, Apollo 13, and I raise you, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Ooh, there you go. Wow. You know, I haven't even seen that film, but I don't have to see it to know it's fucking awesome. Because just what everyone always says of it, I need to watch this film.
Yeah, same here.
It's left such a stamp on pop culture. You know, the same kind of thing with, what was the which Richard Dreyfuss film back in the day, the alien film?
The 2001, no, that's not it.
No. Close Encounters of the
Third Kind.
Yes, that movie was fucking awesome. And it was the same kind of experience. I'd heard about it for years. People raved about it, and I finally went and rented it and loved it. It was so good. Strongly recommend that.
Wasn't 2001 A Space Odyssey, Dwayne, wasn't the moon, didn't have it like an army base or something on it?
I don't remember any army base, which is bad because I had to do an essay for it. I should remember.
It's been a minute. Somewhere
my teacher's like, she didn't deserve that 95. Cheated. Can't remember. It's been so long. It's terrible.
It's all good, man. I'm sure I'm getting stuff wrong left and right, man.
But what I was thinking in my head, I mean, it still has to do with Independence Day, but I've told this story to so many people, even people that live here in New York. They haven't seen it or have heard about it. I've tried to look it on YouTube, but it's only happened to like people that were in my family. It was in my house during this time. A quick little story. So basically, during the like the promotion for Independence Day, what they did was they hired all the real newscasters and reporters to actually say that they are seeing the spaceships in Times Square, and they were under it, and they were, you know, like talking about it the whole nine. I mean, seriously? It was so crazy. It was so crazy because like we turned to like Channel 5, and of course it was a Fox movie, so that was the first one we saw. It was like, whoa, this is crazy. So then we turned to Channel 2. It was on Channel 2. We turned to Channel 4. It was on Channel 4. It was like, what is going on? Like we looked out the window, and you know, it was nighttime, so you couldn't really see anything. But we were looking out the window. We were on our balcony like, I don't see anything. And the freaky thing about it is this, like, every time when I tell someone, I'm like, hey, did you ever hear about this? They're like, no, I didn't see anything. And we're like, what the heck? What is going on? So then when the Men in Black movie came out, I was like, oh, that's what it was. You know, everybody was neutralized except us.
Oh, there you go.
That's
like crazy. Like the new one that came out. Where the female, she was the one that wasn't neutralized, and she still remembered and ended up becoming...
Oh, yes. I forgot that was the angle they were going with that. And then she found them, right?
Mm-hmm.
She sought them out. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
No, that's crazy that they would do something like that. And I bet you if we dig around on YouTube, we could probably find some of these news reports you're talking about. But, you know...
Please let me know, because I think I'm crazy. Mom thinks... I'm crazy, and she thinks she's crazy too, because we were just all sitting in the house and just like, I don't see anything, but it's on TV.
If the TV says it, it's got to be real. Why would the TV lie?
I can't believe
it. It's just because of the fact that it was on every channel, you know?
Exactly. I'm not being a smartass either. I mean, I would see that, and I would believe that myself. So
I can't believe they didn't have something flashing on TV like, this is not real or something, because the amount of panic you could cause if that was...
It's like the news on Christmas Eve saying, oh, we've spotted Santa overhead, you know, he's heading blah, 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 you know.
But the aliens are coming to give presents, man. Here's a
horrible 3D image of Santa. Touché, Randy. I remember when, I was real young, when the lights over, was it Phoenix? Jack, do you remember that? Lights over Phoenix, Arizona? It was
like the six lights in a cone shape or
they
something
made
like
a
that.
V, yeah. And like, yeah, we were watching that like live as it happened, and that was some scary, scary kind of shit. Like, oh, wow, this is happening.
Yeah.
Because then the whole V, like as a formation, turned one way and then just like disappeared. And they said, oh, it was flares. It was flares by a military base. But like, never seen fucking flares do that.
Yeah.
Never seen flares do that. But that was crazy. I can't believe they would go to the... Did they learn nothing from, what was that, the War of the Worlds broadcast back in the day?
Yeah, when they were shooting water towers. And
And like had people believing that we were under invasion, and then to do the same thing years later, wow.
I mean, they still do it today with the Discovery Channel. I mean, they did that with... Yeah, they did like a special. I'm rabbit trailing really hard, guys. I'm sorry, but they did that with like Megalodon and the mermaids or something. They like did like this whole mockumentary. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, because my grandfather, when he was still with us, he was, when it came to those kind of shows, very gullible. And he loved the Bigfoot shows and like the mermaid shows. And I remember a few different times he'd be like, Jeremy, you believe that stuff's out there? I'm like, yeah, Grandpa, it's crazy, right? You know, but he loved that stuff. And the Bigfoot stuff sometimes, I guess, could have been fun to watch with him. But yeah, really, they're really chasing nothing out there, aren't they? Really chasing nothing.
Hey, if it makes them happy, let them do it.
Yeah, it keeps them out of our, out of the society, right? Keeps them in the woods. If they're not hunting for Bigfoot, they're going to be rushing Area 51. Either way, go for it.
More power to you. Right.
Anything else, gentlemen, before we move on here? I'll take that as a hard no. And before we move on, Adult Swim has struck again. Adult Swim has struck again. Came home to a package laying in the rain. Found my cake in the rain, if you will. But no, the stuff inside was okay. What we have here is Squidbillies double platinum gold vinyl album.
Dude. What?
A vinyl album. And I'm not shitting you, man. This thing has, on one side, there's 9 songs, and on the other side, 22, one of which... Oh, wow. Okay, so we have William Shatner performing the theme. Sean Coleman performs a song simply called Power Ballad. I cannot wait to hear that. We have T-Pain, Max Q, Todd Rundgren, the B-52s, man, Steve Earle, Alabama Shakes, George Jones. I could go on, but I won't. I cannot wait to throw this thing on the record player, and I'm hoping to do so so I can get some of the tracks in this podcast. But what's also really cool about this record is it's, what is it, Randy?
It is bright red.
It is bright red and looks like the bottom of a 12-gauge shotgun shell.
Dude, that is legit.
But we're going to be getting pictures of this and putting it up on the website. And I was very confused because, you know, these all these gifts from Adult Swim typically come with a card that tells you what they're promoting. Randy, if you want to take a look at it, what they're promoting and when it's coming out. But lately, they haven't been. We just get a card that says, review it. So I had to go digging because I didn't know if this album is... I still don't know if this album is going to be something the general public can purchase. I'm hoping so. I would assume so. But what they're promoting is season 12. Can you believe that? Season 12 of Squidbillies.
Is it really?
Yeah, premiering August 11th at midnight. So be sure to set your DVRs and keep your ears peeled somewhere around on this episode. I'm definitely going to put some of these tracks on there. Probably the William Shatner doing the theme song. That sounds like the most appetizing, right?
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So excited to hear that. And another big thank you to Adult Swim. And another reminder, August 11th at midnight, season 12 of Squidbillies. Set the DVRs, people.
And you know what? If you find this vinyl, if it goes on sale, you want to get this if you collect vinyls because it is nice. I mean,
it's nice.
Yeah,
it really. Through shipping and handling, there's a big gnarly dent in the corner, but it looks like the record will play fine. So we'll see. If you hear it at the end of this episode, you'll know everything went well. All right, with that behind us, let's turn our attention over to Dwayne of Animation Comics and Entertainment. Dwayne, I want to thank you again for being here. And before we get started, can you just tell the listeners briefly about Animation Comics and Entertainment?
Animation Comics and Entertainment, or ACE for short, is a company that I started with my friend who's like a brother to me. We knew each other since we were in high school. And in 2017, we decided to start the company and show a little bit of our creativity with starting off at first with our comics. Originally, we wanted to just go straight into animation, hence why the animation is first in the title of our company. But we realized really quickly that animation is a lot more money and comics is a little easier to navigate and to get things started. So we started with the comics. And the first comics that we were able to publish was Salvation, which is written by my brother, Terrence Young. And then Nightfall, Michael's Awakening, issue 1, which is written by me.
Very nice. And I saw some of the covers of these comics on your website, and they look really, really freaking cool. And, you know, I like the angle you're going with your guys' company. You know, you said you wanted to start with animation, but it's... bit more involved, more costly, which we've totally seen ourselves. Not that we are serious about getting ourselves into animation, but in the little experience we have, we know it's not easy at all. But I think that what you're doing is a great way to move forward toward animation, because now with these comics, you have a template for, you know, someone to look at or to work off of. You're not going into it out of the dark. Does that make sense? You have this source.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the second things that we had discussed, was that, you know, at least with the comics, that can help build our fan base, you know, not just with the Instagrams and the Facebooks and the Twitters and what have you, but, you know, actually building up an audience so people can go, oh, well, I heard about Salvation. I saw that comic. Oh, they got an animation. Oh, that's cool. You know, and they'll know that our stories are really good, so they're halfway interested, you know. And then our artwork is always kind of spoke for itself, you know. We take a lot of our pride in what we do and the designs that I've come up with and whatnot. So, you know, like that, all of that just ties into it. When we finally get our animation stuff going, people will automatically be interested. So that was another reason why we wanted to do comics. But also too, you know, my brother, he's more of the comic book guy than I am. So, you know, I always wanted to make sure that he got his comics done, and, you know, he could say that he finally had his own comic that he actually wrote his own comic and did the story and whatnot. So that was another reason why it was really special for us to do that too, because I wanted him to actually get it done. And, you know, me, I've always just loved writing, whether it be stories, music, or poems, or poetry, anything. You know, I just love creativity. So, you know, when he said, oh, yeah, let's do the comics, I was like, all right, well, we're going to do it too. I'm going to do it too. And, you know, Nightfall originally started out as just kind of like a throwaway story, I guess you could say, something that I wasn't going to put too much effort into it. But the original reason why I wrote the story was because I saw the Twilight series, and me personally, I just did not like it. Just like, this is not how you do. No, vampires and werewolves are not supposed to look like this. And I was
vampires.
Yeah, really, you know, like, I just was like,
in the daylight. Sorry.
Regardless, they sparkled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't burn. They just sparkle like diamonds. And you know, the love story aspect, it was kind of cheesy. I just, you know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of listeners are probably like condemning me right now, and I apologize. It's all my opinion, not Candair's, you know.
You can say that's Candair's vision too. I call these kind of movies chin rubbing movies. Any movies with love happening in them, typically I'm not that super interested in. But when you're talking like vampires and then you're trying to throw a love story in there, come on.
If Universal's taught us anything, don't get cuddly with a werewolf.
Right?
I was with you, but then you see, because the thing about Nightfall, it is actually a love story involved within it.
Oh, okay.
I love love stories.
It's great.
I love love.
You know, like, with the way, like, the way how I approached it is very different. You know, I didn't want the story to just be like a 100% origin story. You know, right from the beginning, it starts off like the end of the year of his college that he's going to, the main character, Michael or Vash. And, you know, from there, it just goes on to what he goes through in a normal day to day with his mom, his relationship with his friend that he grew up with since they were little. He calls like a sister, Victoria. And, you know, it just shows all their relationships. You know, I just didn't want to really do like a origin story, because I felt like there was room, because as I started writing, as I said, you know, it was at first just a throwaway story. But as I started to continue writing, adding more things and making it interesting and, you know, just bringing my own little creative niche to the story, it became something like an actual world and a universe that people can actually, you know, want to get, you know, maybe more known about and say, oh, what happened to this guy and what happened to this guy? Because I leave a lot of hints and clues that's not really like fully told, especially in the first issue. In the first issue, you're just really kind of getting to know the characters and their personality, so to speak. And in the second issue, you actually get introduced to more characters. Without spoiling anything, but yeah, you know, that's pretty much what it is. But the love story aspect is, it's not like, you know, just he has this guy, this girl, and she loves him, and you know they constantly, you know, going back and forth about things. It's not like that. Is the girl that he's involved with? They're already together. They're just kind of, you know, growing as a couple. But there's a lot of twists and turns within the story that people won't really see until like later on to the issue. But it is a love story. The way I could really explain the story is that it's a kind of overall all-around story. You know, it has action, it has drama, it has horror themes, it has a romance, you know, everything you can get from a really good story, I guess. I don't know.
let me just jump in here really quick and say that I'm sorry, because I've got you like really defending the love angle in your book here, and I just want you to know that there's nothing wrong with that. I guess with movies, with me, it's when the movie totally revolves around it, when there aren't those different angles that you can take from, you know, that's all you're getting from it. But like you're saying, your book is not only that. There's all kinds of different things happening, right?
No, absolutely, yes. You know, I was just going back to that, you know, just to piggyback off what you're saying, you know, right. Because it does have like, you know, romantic aspects to it, but that's not the be-all and end-all to my story. Absolutely not. It's a very much a horror story, but it's also a very much a drama and a mystery, because there's so many things that happen in the way how it's told that leave you kind of, well, what happened to this person? Especially in the ending. The ending leaves you off in the first issue. It's definitely a cliffhanger. And in the second issue, it goes right into what it ends in the first one. It doesn't, you know, talk about years later. No, it just goes right into it. And even the way how that's beginning from the issue two, you still have so many questions. Some of them get answered, rightfully so, because it is the second issue. You have to answer something. You can't leave people in the dark. But I also added more things because of it. So you get answers, but then you also get a question from the answer. So it leaves you, you know, wanting more to know more about the story. So yeah, you know, I really do enjoy the story, not because it's mine, but you know, a lot of people that have come up to me, they really enjoy this story. They like the artwork, but they like the character Michael himself, and they also like the female characters. All of the female characters in the story, outside of Melissa, are not like, you know, damsels in distress, so to speak. You know, they all are strong and powerful in their own right. You know, they don't just like let Michael, you know, do all the fighting. They're going to be there side by side, you know, getting into the nitty gritty just with him, you know. And that was really important, too, because I didn't want to write stories that people could just, you know, see and just, you know, always kind of used to that, you know, where the females just, yeah, you know, like they're just in the background or they have to be rescued and whatnot. No, I wanted them to be just as strong as the main character, if not stronger, because in the second issue, he has a aunt that he doesn't know about. And his aunt is actually the strongest in the whole kingdom.
That's awesome.
She's the baddest. You know, like she I show a little bit of how truly strong and powerful she is in issue two. But when the full battle, which is later on in the issues, come together, you'll really see how truly strong she is. And even in the prequel, which I'm going to be doing, you get another sense of how strong she truly is. And that was really important, you know, because I grew up with my mom, and you know, I just, you know, she was a very strong person for me. She did a lot for me as a young kid and things like that. So, you know, that's kind of like my way of, you know, saying thank you. And just for all the other women that I grew up with and known throughout my life, whether it be my aunts from my mom's side and whatnot like that, you know. So that's just what I'm kind of accustomed to. And, you know, just wanted to show that.
Right, right. And it seems like you're taking the Stranger Things approach with every question answered, five more laying out, which is it's working for them, right?
Yeah.
But you know, you've mentioned Nightfall and Salvation, but I saw on your website there are a few other books. There's like Brook City, Immortal, what is it, ICHI, Warrior of Doom?
Of Doom is going to be our next title that we're going to be coming out with. But I'll just tell you the quick little summary of the other ones before I go into that one.
Well, really quick, I just wanted to know if all these are in the same universe.
Oh, no, absolutely not. One of the things that I like to do in my writing and when I'm doing the artwork and whatnot is that I'd like to do little Easter eggs. So I'm not sure if you guys purchased the comic, but in Nightfall issue one, Michael and Melissa, they go on a date. And they go to see a movie, and the movie that they go see is called Salvation, and it's actually a scene from Salvation in it. So that's like an Easter egg there. And also in the story, in my other story, which is going to be coming out next year, Immortal, in the beginning of that, he's watching a comedy, sort of like The Boondocks, because that's kind of what Brook City is. It's sort of like if Family Guy and The Boondocks had a love child, that's what Brook City would basically be, you know? And so in the comic of Immortal, he's watching an episode of Brook City. So I like to throw like little Easter eggs, you know, inside, but it's not one can, you know, continuity of a universe. It's just small little hints to show, you know, that, you know, it's written by us or whatnot. Like we have a superhero story that's going to be coming out a long time from now. There's no real set date, but one of the main characters, his name is Anthony C. Eriks. Do you guys catch that one?
I did not. No, right over my head. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go. His initials is ACE.
Oh.
I know how Easter eggs work. Not like reach for everything and ends up being just like a, I don't know. It's just something they put in there. It's not really an Easter egg.
Just to do it. But yeah, I didn't want to, you know, do it where it's blatant, but just, you know, something cool, you know, that I like writing, doing things like that and putting in the artwork, you know. So, you know, those are some of the small, actually in Brook City, in the first episode, I mean, the first issue of Brook City, I say episode because I kind of really want to do that as an animation, but we're still trying to decide on what would be better to do, but in the first issue, because if we don't do it as an animation, we're going to do it as a comic, obviously. The main character is us, actually. If you guys look on the website, you'll see it. It's actually me and my brother. The one on the left is me, Showtime, and then the one on the right is my brother, Tay Diggs. And the first issue is introducing me as a gamer, because I am a huge gamer. I also love anime too, which is a reference in Nightfall, but I'll get back to that in a second. I'm playing the game, and behind me is Michael's t-shirt, his college jersey. In the back, it's like framed and everything, and so that's in the back. And then when you go to Terrence's house, he has the sword from Vaughn, which is in the main character in Salvation. So, you know, those are, again, like, those are small little Easter eggs I like to do in my stories. Yeah, but to go back to the anime reference in the Nightfall story, Michael Vash is the main character's name, his full name. And one of my animes, my all-time animes, which I love and adore, is an anime called Trigun. In the story of Nightfall, his name is Michael Vash, and in the beginning of the comic, he's the quarterback of a college football team, and the football team is called the Stampede. So in the commentary booth, the guy says Vash and the Stampede are willing to such and such. So that's another Easter egg. You know, it's the small things that I like to do that, you know, it shows my personality and it shows some of the things that I'm interested in. You know, those who are really knowledgeable about anime might catch these things, and then some that aren't. You know, I don't have, when people come to purchase our comics or whatnot and I explain the story, I tell them, you know, just to get a little bit more information on as who I am as a person and some of the things that I'm interested in, you know.
That's freaking awesome. I mean, it's stuff that the readers are going to enjoy. I mean, I always know when I'm looking at something and spot something in the background that I think maybe the general public might not get. I always feel kind of high on myself, like, look what I found. You know?
Wonder if anyone else got this little bit.
Yeah, probably not as smart as me. But.
Well, it's probably fun as for you too, just to see how many references people do catch and kind of call you out on.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't really got too many that have caught the Trigun reference, but a lot of people, because the Nightfall story itself is in black and white, and then it slowly goes into color. So a lot of people so far have really understood the reasoning behind it, and it's not just because, oh, you know, doing it that way, doing something cool, which is the truth too, but it was a bigger meaning behind it. And you know, the readers, when they buy it and purchase it, they'll most likely understand the reasoning behind it. But for me, again, it also shows my personality, because I love black and white. I love black and white anything. You know, it's just, especially in comics, I always felt that it's a little bit more detailed. You can see things a little bit noticeable without having so much splash of color with it. But you know, it being a comic, I felt that, you know, it would be kind of not interesting, I guess the way I could say it, if I left it the whole thing in black and white, especially because of the fact that the cover is in color. So, you know, I didn't want people to buy it and go, well, where's the color? You know, well, this isn't done. So I decided to do that little interesting critique where it goes into color. But like I said, it also depends, it's going with the story and why there's a bigger reason why it is in color. You know, so right. You just have to basically purchase it and read it and find out why. But in the Salvation story, it's in full color, though.
And people can head over to animationcomicsent.com to pick those comics up. Is there anywhere else people should be checking you out, Dwayne?
Yeah, because when you go to the website, you can actually see all of the links that we have, all of our comics available, which is Amazon, Comicology, Comic Central. And also, too, if you feel uncomfortable about, you know, those websites, and we have no problem with sending them to you personally.
Very nice. And what about Twitter, Instagram? You want either of those?
Yes. Our Facebook is Animation Comics and Animation Comics and Entertainment LLC. Our Instagram is Animation Comics ENT. And our Twitter is Anicom, that's AniComEntLLC.
All right. Awesome. Lots of places for us to link you, and we'll get you out there to our listeners and hopefully get you some more sales, sir. I mean, people should check this out. I love the Easter egg stuff. I like how they're all tied.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think people will dig that. So strongly recommend people head over there, and we'll do our best to route them over that way. Dwayne, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to cannedairpodcast.com, where you can check out show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, check out some of our YouTube videos, buy some merch, become a patron, and if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And you can find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And again, if you like what we're doing, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod. And for $5 a month, you get access to our Canned Air Patreon pod. We release once a month only on Patreon and only for the $5 nut people. And what else we got? If you're going to a Wizard World Con here in the future, use promo code CannedAir at checkout. Get yourself a cool 10% off of your ticket. What else, Randy?
If you're listening to us, just show us some love on Apple Podcast app. And
Any app you're on, yeah, really, for that matter. Leave us a review if they allow such things. If not, then go over to iTunes and do it there. If you can't do it financially, that support is greatly appreciated and helps so much, too.
We love hearing from you guys.
Yeah. And check out our other show, whatifpod.com, or you can just search Canned Air Productions in your podcast player of choice, and this show and our other show, What If, will pop up, where we take each episode, we look at a new twist on reality. What if people could fly? What if Bigfoot had been discovered? What if a genie's lamp had been found? And we talk for about 40, 45 minutes on the ramifications on the world if one of those events had happened. So check that out. Let us know what you think. And I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Dwayne Robinson from Animation Comics and Entertainment.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
My oldest son was born an albino. My youngest is covered in hair. The middle one says he's a homosexual. The other seven gone. I don't know where. And I don't care. I just don't care.
Puppy? Nice puppy. Oh, no!
Don't run. It'll only make things worse.
Mutt!
Remember, you never want to approach a stray dog, especially one that's foaming at the mouth. Get away from the animal as quickly as you can and tell a grown-up.
Hey!
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
We'll set it. Let bleh.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.